Communicating to my son who got engaged yet last night, Moshe and his Kala Adina. Vart will be Mitzvah Hashem this Sunday. I'll let you know later. This week's parasha is Parashas Noach, and tonight is Rosh Chodesh Ma'ar Cheshvan. So, it is. We always read this parasha as we get ready for the month of Ma'ar Cheshvan, which tonight begins Ma'ar Cheshvan, the 8th month counting from Nisan, 2nd month from Tishrei. In Navi it is not called Ma'ar Cheshvan, it's called Yerach Bul, the month of decay, when the world seems to be in a decay mode. The leaves are decaying and falling off the tree. The rain season begins, as the Gemara says, it's called Yerach Bul, because the earth becomes Bulin Bulin, which means it looks like mounds and trenches. It is also the month in which the mazel is that of the Akrev, the Scorpio, the sign, the zodiac is the Scorpio, which is not a kosher animal, it's certainly a negative, a creature that makes us think negative. The Akrav is poisonous. The Akrav, as it says, is cold. The poison that it has freezes the nervous system. Symbolic of the time that we're entering now, which is a time that we feel a little cold compared to the warmth of Tishrei, which in Tishrei we had all the Yomim Tovim, which Tishrei is referred to in the Navi as the Yerach HaEsonim, the month of the powerful. It is a powerful month. Many powerful mitzvos in the month of Tishrei. Unlike Ma'ar Cheshvan, which is an empty month, Yerach Bul, an empty month, a month where there is no Yom Tov, and we now enter this month, and we're going from such a high exalt, and such a month like Tishrei, where we've reached such great heights, where we felt that we were under the shadow of Hashem constantly, especially as we sat in the sukkah. And now we go out into the world, into the raging mabul of the world. Just as we read about in this week's parasha, how there was a mabul. Mabul is mem bul. The mem stands for Ma'ar Cheshvan and Beis Vav Lamed, which is what how the Navi describes the month of Ma'ar Cheshvan as the Yerach Bul. The mabul also caused the earth to age. That's one of the reasons why the world looks older than it really is because one of the reasons is because of the mabul. After sitting on the water for a year, when it was hot water full of chemicals, so the earth naturally looks a lot older than it really is. It decayed the earth, which is one of the reasons why it's called Mabul. Rashi says, Shabila es hakol, Shabilbel es hakol. Everything was churned around, the entire world was changed. And we have to make this transition from Tishrei to Cheshvan, which is a very difficult transition, because we're going from a month in which we had so many Yonim Tovim of every possible kind that you can imagine, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur to Sukkot to Shmini Atzeres to Simchas Torah, and now a month in which there is no Yom Tov at all. And from Ma'ar Cheshvan we go to Kislev, where we have Chanukah. Tishrei, full of Yonim Tovim, which Tishrei is referred to as the Chodesh HaShevi'i, the seventh month, which Chazal say also is the Chodesh HaSivi'i with Hasin, which means that it's the month that satiates us. It satiates us with all the Yomim Tovim that we have in that month. A month in which we feel very full. Unlike in Ma'ar Cheshvan, where we are missing all the Yomim Tovim, we feel very hungry. There's a ra'av, there's a hunger. We long for the Yomim Tovim of Tishrei. And then in Kislev, we have the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which is the Oirei Shel Melech HaMashiach, as all the Svarim speak to us about. And basically, this is what we find at the beginning of Chumash, Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis HaShamayim V'Yasa'aretz. Bereishis is Tishrei. Tishrei is the beginning. Bereishis is Aleph B'Tishrei. Then you have Ha'aretz Hoysa Sohu V'Vohu V'Choshech. The earth is void and empty and darkness. And then Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Then there's light. Tishrei is Bereishis, Tohu Vavohu is Ma'ar Cheshvan, and Yehi Or is Kislev. So Ma'ar Cheshvan is the month that connects Tishrei and Kislev. Sort of like when a person enters the world Chazal tell us, Mashbiyanoi say that every soul is made to swear that he's going to be a tzaddik, Mashbiyanoi so to he tzaddik, which Chazal Mefarshim translate also Mashbiyan as Masbiyan, that Hashem gives us the necessary koiches, the potential to be able to withstand, to endure all the trials and tribulations that exist in this world, and Hashem gives us all the necessary tools to deal with the world. He gives us the Torah and the mitzvahs and the koiches of the nefesh. And then a person enters into this difficult world, Olam Hazeh, which is a world in which is Rubai Ra, as Mefarshim say, as the Svarim tell us, it is mostly evil. And the goal is to come to pass all the tests and to enter into Olam Haba eventually, to Eirush HaMelech HaMashiach. And that's Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan, and Kislev. The challenge, though, is Mar Cheshvan. Tishrei is where we are given all the koichos to be able to deal with the outside world, to be able to deal with the Tohu v'Choshech v'Avoyhu, to be able to deal with the Yerach Bul, which is Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. And after that comes Chanukah, which is the Oirei Shel Melech HaMashiach, the hidden light, the Or HaGonis, V'yomer Elokim Yehi Or. The first parsha that takes us into Mar Cheshvan is Noach. Noach is described here as a tzaddik tamim. If the Torah calls him a tzaddik, he's a tzaddik. We're talking about a person who's totally righteous, unlike the rest of the generation. The rest of the generation were steeped in immorality and decadence. Noach is a tzaddik. Noach is totally removed from the pegamim, from all the sins of that generation. And that's why Noach is saved. And Hashem tells Noach, Aseilach HaTevas Atzei Goyfer. Noach is told to make a teva. And Rashi comments right away, why was it necessary that he build the teva for 120 years? First of all, there were many ways that Hashem could have saved Noach. He could have hidden in some cave. He could have gone to Eretz Yisrael, where it says the marble didn't fall, or Gan Eden. Why did he have to build this at all? And then Rashi answers so that the people of the generation should see Noach involved in this building for 120 years, and they're going to ask him, what is this all about? And he's going to tell them, because there's going to be a marble, and maybe they'll do tshuva. The question is, how does Rashi know that it took Noach 120 years to build the teva? What does it say here that it was 120 years before the marble started? The pasuk says, Hashem says to Noach, the time has come for the end of the world, I want you to make a teva. Maybe this was 3 years before the marble. How do you know it's 120 years? Where does it say that? And it's interesting that the Torah goes through the details of how the teva has to be made. It has to be smeared with tar on the inside and the outside, which is called kofir over here. It had to be 300 amma long, 50 amma wide, 30 amma high. It had to have a window. It had to be narrow on top. It had to have the entrance way on the side, three floors. The truth is, what's the difference? The pasuk should just say, Hashem told Noach to make a teva so that him and his family will be able to protect themselves during the time that the marble falls. They'll be in the teva. Does it really matter what the measurements for the teva were? When it comes to the making of the Mishkan, it's important to know exactly the measurements. The Mishkan is the replica of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash later on had to be built a certain way, a replica of the Mishkan. But the Teva is really only just for a place for refuge for the raging waters of the Marble. Why is it necessary that the Torah has to tell us the measurements of the Teva? And we also see that the Torah says the word Asiya here five times. Asei lecha tevas atzei goyfer. Kinem ta'ase es ha'teva, v'zeh asher ta'ase oisa again, sohar ta'ase la'teva, tachtiyim shniyim u'shlishim ta'aseha. Five times the word asiya. Seemingly redundant. Why say it over and over again? It's known that Noach and Moshe Rabbeinu are the same neshama. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Gilgal of Noach. In fact, Rashi brings here that had Noach been in the days of Moshe, he wouldn't have been considered. Rashi actually brings here Avram Avinu. The Medrash brings that if Noach would have been in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he wouldn't have been considered as great. In his generation, he was great compared to the Rishroyim of the generation. But in a later generation, in the generation where there were other tzaddikim, he wouldn't have been considered so great. And one of the generations that I mentioned in the Chazal is the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Noach is compared to Moshe. Not only that, Rashi compares the teva of Noach to the teva that Moshe was placed in by his mother when he was put in the Sea of Reeds, in the Yam Suf, where it says that she made a Tevas Goma. There were only two times in the Chumash that you have the word Tevas, here by the Teva of Noach, and there by the Teva of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi compares the Teva of Moshe to the Teva of Noach, that here it was smeared with tar on the inside and on the out, while over there it was only smeared with tar on the outside, so that Moshe, who was a tzaddik, should not have to smell the odor of tar, which is not pleasant. And also because the Sea of Reeds is a calm sea, so the Teva of Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to be so strong. Here it had to be much stronger, obviously, with all the people and the animals and the raging waters of the Mabul, which was hot water with sulfur and so on. So it had to have tar on the inside and on the outside. Why does Rashi have to talk to us about the Teva of Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the similarity? What's the connection? What is it, just a play on words? Why are we comparing Noach to Moshe? What's the comparison at all? And perhaps, to understand this, the pasuk in last week's parasha tells us that when Hashem saw how the generations were getting worse and worse, Hashem says, "Lo yodain ruchi ba'adam le'olam." I'm not going to sit here and judge the world for that long. B'shagam hu basar. Not only that, but these are people who are of flesh and blood, and look how they rebel against me. So Rashi explains to us that Hashem is giving the generation 120 years to do tshuva. This is also the source that we bench one another when we wish each other arichas yamim, that a person should live to 120. It comes from this pasuk. But literally, that's not what it's talking about. What this pasuk is really talking about is that the generation of the Mabul, before the Mabul came, they were given 120 years grace period, sort of, to do tshuva. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu was hinted in this pasuk. Moshe min haTorah minayin, it says. Where does it say Moshe in the Torah? What a strange question. Where does it say Moshe in the Torah? Can anyone? How many times is Moshe mentioned in the Torah over and over and over again? You're going to ask me, where is Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah? And the Gemara says it's hidden here. It says b'shagam. B'shagam is b'gematria Moshe. So you find Moshe in a gematria in a pasuk which is not talking about him at all, when it says Moshe Rabbeinu many, many times throughout Chumash. And here's where Chazal find Moshe Rabbeinu hidden. And yes, Moshe Rabbeinu lives 120 years. Basically, the kitzur, since Noach is Moshe Rabbeinu, and had that generation merited, Noach would have been the giver of the Torah. Noach would have given the Torah to that generation, if that generation would have been fit. It was not. So instead of having a Torah, which, as we know, Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days to receive the Torah, instead, there's a Mabul that comes down to the world for 40 days. Noach needed 120 years to build the Teva. Because the truth is, how did that generation know that they have a 120-year grace period? Who's told them that? It says, Yevayoyma Hashem. Hashem said, he didn't say this to any individual. Hashem says this to himself, Kaviyachol. The Torah is telling us what Hashem is sort of thinking, that I'm not going to judge them much longer, I'm giving them 120 years. But who knew this? How is anyone supposed to know that there are 120 years that they can do tshuva? How are they supposed to know when doomsday is? How do they know? So it's clear, therefore, Rashi learns, al pi pshat even, the fact that they were given 120 years, it must be that something takes place in these 120 years that enables them to do tshuva. And what is it? It's Noach building the teva. Just the fact that Noach is building a teva for 120 years during this extension that they were given, during this period of time that they were given to do tshuva, with the hope that perhaps it will enable them to do tshuva. And it's not just because they see him building it, and they're going to ask him, why are you building it? And he's going to tell them why, and then they're going to do tshuva, which we know didn't happen. It's more than that. It's the fact that Noach is building a teva with specific measurements, measurements that the Torah requires that the teva be built only with these measurements. This is not just a boat or some safe haven, which actually, al pi teva, this teva should not have really been able to endure the Mabul at all. Other people made boats too. They weren't that stupid. Many of them made boats, but all those boats fell apart. The Mabul was hot water, was boiling hot water, full of chemicals. They didn't have the materials to be able to build any kind of vessel that would protect them from the Mabul. So this was miraculous, but only if it's done the proper way. As we know that the Teva had in it the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, it had in it the Kedusha of the Mishkan, Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the time and place did not play a role. There's no aging in the Beis HaMikdash, nothing spoiled in the Beis HaMikdash. All the Jews who came to the Beis HaMikdash fit there miraculously. Here in the Teva, there was no aging process either. Nothing spoiled. The Pasuk says, V'hakimaisi es brisi itoch. Rashi says that Hashem made a bris with Noach, that none of the fruits that were brought into the Teva would spoil or rot. There was a feeling of Gan Eden in the Teva, which is one of the reasons why they didn't want to go out later on. They wanted to stay in the Teva, as we spoke in previous years. There needed to be a special command, Tzei in Teva, even though the marble had ended and the water had receded and it was dry. Had they not been told to go out, they would not have. And you would think they were probably dying to get out. It's in this cramped quarters that they were forced to stay for a year, but that wasn't the case. There was a feeling of bliss on the Teva. There was a feeling of Gan Eden and Yemais HaMashiach. And the animals all lived in peace and harmony, as it's going to be the Asid Lavi, as the Pasuk says, V'garza Evim Keves, V'nomer M'gedi Yirbats. They didn't want to leave. So just the building of the Teva itself brought such Kedusha into the world. It was like when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, when Bezalel built the Mishkan. As we know, the Siman, to remember how many Psukim this Pasha has, is Bezalel. Bezalel Siman, we read at the end of the Pasha. There are Bezalel Psukim in this week's Pasha. Bezalel is equal to 153. That's how many Psukim there are in Pasha's Noach. What do Noach and Bezalel have in common? They were both builders. Noach built the Teva, and Bezalel built the Mishkan. But what else? Because the Teva was the Mishkan. But the real builder, the real architect of the Mishkan is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is called the one who made the Mishkan. She'osa Moshe Bamidbar, Chazal tells us. Vayokem Moshe es HaMishkan, we read in Parshas Pekudei. So although Bezalel was the one who physically built the Mishkan, and Bezalel, of course, had Ruach HaKodesh and the necessary talents to do so, but it's called the Mishkan that Moshe made, just like the Teva is the Teva that Noach made. And when Moshe Rabbeinu builds the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu actually orders the building of the Mishkan. He didn't actually build it, but he was on top of it and made sure that every part of the Mishkan was built properly. It brought a tremendous Kedusha to the world, potential for the future Beis HaMikdash, potential for Hashras HaShchina. So too does the Teva. The Teva was the place on earth where the Shechina will rest. And even if there will be a Mabel, and there was, but in the Teva, the Shechina remains. Just like the Shechina was always in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash, so too in the Teva that Noach built. So just the fact that Noach is building a Teva, he's already affecting the surrounding the world. And the hope was that it will penetrate somehow, and the people all over will be affected by the Kedusha of the Teva. But that's not what happened. And we know that the argument that many have over the controversy or the argument over how we're supposed to be makarev Achenu B'nai Yisrael, those who have gone off the derech, and there were many who had always believed that it's not our derech to go out to the people, but we should just build yeshivas, mekomos of Torah, a kolel, and so on, and then those who are interested will come, automatically they will come. And there were many Gadol and many great tzaddikim that believe that that's the proper way. It's not that we have to really go out. We should just build and build within, or even if we go out into other communities. But the goal is that we build mekomos of Torah, and then the people themselves, they'll see us learning, they'll see the batei midrashim, and they'll come. And that's certainly a derech. There's no question that that's a derech in Yahadus. But we see here, in fact, Hashem himself said, "Asei lecha teves atzei gofer." Hashem didn't tell Noach to go out to the people. He really didn't say, I want you to go to all the communities, and I want you to speak to them, and make sure that they keep to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, which was what they had at that time, and they should stop the immorality, and make the world a better place. He didn't tell Noach to do that. He told Noach to build the Teva. And that should be sufficient. But it wasn't sufficient. And when there's a Mabel out there, that's not sufficient. And there are times that it's not enough just to build the Teva. There are times that it's not enough just to build the Beis Medrash and sit and learn and expect that the outside world is going to be affected. Not necessarily does that happen. Rabbi Shaul Salanta said that a Jew learns in a Beis Medrash in Volozhin, and that stops a Jew in Paris from eating something not kosher, or from wanting to convert. Yes, there is such a thing, that our learning and our davening does affect the outside world, even if we're not there, just our learning itself. And that's definitely a very high level, but there are times when a Jew does have to go out to the world. And that's what was missing here. Nayach is being is chastised by Chazal. He's scolded in all the Midrashim as not going out to the people, not davening for the people, not being melamed schus on the generation, davening for them that perhaps there's some sitkus or some schus that could prevent the mabul from coming. He was satisfied that he will be protected, his family will be saved, and that's sufficient. Perhaps one could say, Nayach knew that it was a waste of time. Avraham Avinu does it later on. Avraham Avinu does it for Sodom and Amorah. And it seems to be a waste of time because the Sodom and Amorah are destroyed anyway. Although Chazal say it wasn't a waste because those tefillos later were used in later generations for other generations. So Nayach building the Teva during these 120 years, which was necessary that Kedusha be brought into the world, is what prepares the world for the 120 years of Moshe Rabbeinu. The 120 years that Nayach builds the Teva, that prepares the 120 years of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe is the Gilgal of Nayach. Moshe is Nayach. Moshe is hinted here, B'shagam hu basar. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be able to be melamed tzchus even on the B'shagam hu basar. Later on, Moshe Rabbeinu is mispala for the sinners, those who sinned by the Chet HaEgel, by the Chet HaMeraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly being mispalef for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to the people. It actually starts with Avraham Avinu, who goes out to the people. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in his 120 years, is misakein what Nayach did during these 120 years, which although Nayach is doing a great thing, and he's building a teiv, and he's affecting, and bringing tremendous kedusha into the world, but the outside world is unaffected here. And a mabul does arrive. And perhaps that's why the Torah mentions here also five times Asiya, connected the five. We know that the Neshama has five levels. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. The construction of the Teva affects the entire soul, the entire Nefesh, the entire makeup of the Nefesh of a Yid. Every Jew has to build a Teva. And there are certain times that we have to build a Teva and enter the Teva and stay in the Teva. And there are certain times we have to go out of the Teva. Tishrei, we enter the Teva. That Tishrei is the month of the Teva. Teva also means word. It's the month that we're very busy with words. We're davening, we're learning, we're busy with mitzvahs. We're surrounded with Kedusha, with Hashras Hashchina. Tishrei is from the word Hashras Hashchina. Ba'are Tishrei Shchinta, as Targum Unkelus translates, Ubein Seif of Shochein. Hashras Hashchina, we are betzel shakai. We are in the shadow of Hashem. We are sitting in the shadow of the sukkah. Betzilu d'mehei menusa. And what happens after sukkahs? When we're out of the sukkah, does that mean we're no longer in the shadow of Hashem? Chas v'shalom. No, we're supposed to extend. We're supposed to bring that sail into our daily life. The whole idea of Shmini Atzeres is going from the sukkah back to the house, and he's taking the kedusha of the sukkah with us into the home, recognizing that every part of our life is only from Hashem. When we sit in the sukkah, we realize the sukkah is not really a place where one would run for protection. The sukkah can fall down at any moment. All you need is a heavy rain with some hurricane, and that's the end of the sukkah. The sukkah is certainly not a place to run to when a person is being chased by an enemy. But yet, in the sukkah, one is protected. The sukkah it protects us. It's megim. The pasuk says, v'sukkah, the Gemara brings it at the beginning of sukkah, v'sukkah tiyel tzeil yoimam. The sukkah protects us from the outside world, from the outside influences. We are sitting under the shadow, b'tzila d'mehei menusa. In the teva of Nayach, they were sitting under the tzila d'mehei menusa. Miraculously, they were being saved from the mabul. It wasn't something that you could really explain. It was like sitting in a sukkah. If you build a sukkah properly, it has to have a certain amount of schach, and it has to be tzilasa merubah mechamasa, and it has to have certain measurements, you are protected in that sukkah. If not, it's not a sukkah. Even though one would say, what's the difference between that sukkah or that sukkah? They're both huts, they're both temporary. There's a difference. If it's made kahalacha, it has the din of a sukkah. Chag ha-sukkah is tasa lecha. If it's made the proper way, under the shadow of the schach, we are protected. The same thing with the teva. The teva only would work if it's made a certain way. The Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash, can only provide Kedusha if it's built with specific measurements in a certain way. If not, It won't. It won't bring the Shechina. V'zeh asher ta'asa oisa, it says over here. And the Baal HaTurim says, it says, v'zeh asher ta'asa al ha-mizbeach. The Baal HaTurim compares the Teva to the Mizbeach. It's also comparing the Teva to the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdash. And perhaps this is the reason why the Mefarshim who quote this word at the end of the Pasha, Betzalel, use this word as we read Pashas Noach. Betzalel is Betzel Kael. That a Jew should still be in the shadow of Hashem, even in Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, when there's no Sukkah, when we're no longer in the Sukkah. And we don't have the Yomim Tovim of Tishrei. Where there we felt that we were Betzel Kael, because we were literally Betzel Kael, we were under the Tzel of the Schach. And now that we're back home and we think, and now we're certainly secure and we're certainly protected because we're sitting under a real roof and we're surrounded by real walls, a Jew has to remember that here it's also, it's only if it's Betzel Kael. The Tzel of the Sukkah has to permeate us the whole year, has to go through the entire year. The entire year, Jew has to always realize that he's Betzel Shaka. Yoshev B'Seisr Elyon B'Tzel Shaddai Yisloinot. And as we enter the month of Mar Cheshvan, when the davening is back to normal, there's no longer the Lodavar Hashem Eri V'Yishi, and we're finished with all the Halil of Sukkahs, and all the Tfilois and the Slichais that we started in Elul and continued throughout the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, says the Rishon and other Tzaddikim, Mar Cheshvan is from the word Merach Hashem. Merach Hashem means to move. The lips are still moving. Even though we're finished all that extensive davening of Tishrei, the lips are still moving. We're so used to it. There are still people who are singing someone in the Gunim that they sang in Shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because you've heard it so many times. He's still singing in the Mar Cheshvan. And that's the goal of a Jew is to, the purpose is to take the Tfilos of Tishrei into Mar Cheshvan. Boy El HaTeva, as the Baal Shem Tov translates it, come into the word. Teva means word. Enter the words of Torah and Tfilah, even now, even after Tishrei. After you were Betzel Kael, you were in the Tzel of the Sukkah. You were in the Teva, and now you're going out. Don't forget about that Teva and go back in. Go with your entire essence into the Teva. Yes, there are times when we have to go out of the Teva. We have to go into the world. Tishrei is compared to the world as it was before the Doir HaFlaga. Before the Doir HaFlaga, which also is discussed in this parasha, they only spoke Lashon HaKodesh. That doesn't only mean they spoke Hebrew, it means they spoke with a holy tongue. They did not use foul language. They did not speak words that they should not say. It's interesting that the Gemara learns out in Pesachim, how do you know that a person should not speak a Lashon Genai, and a person should speak Lashon Noki, from a Pasuk in this week's parasha. When Hashem says to Noach, take the kosher animals into the Teva, Mikol HaBehema HaTehoira, Tikach Lecha Shiva Shiva, and then it says, Umin HaBehema Asher Loi Tehoira Hi, and any animal that is not pure, not kosher, take two of. Why doesn't the Pasuk just say, Umin HaBehema HaTemeya, which are less letters than Asher Lo Tehoira Hi? Says the Gemara that the Pasuk goes out of its way and adds eight extra letters, just to teach us that a person should go out of his way not to utter any word that is negative. Shmiras hadivur. That we learn out from this week's parasha. Noach is a tzaddik. Tzaddik is only when someone is nizhar and is careful, and he's shomer bris, which the shmiras habris is bris haloshein. It starts with bris haloshein. The person is careful the way he speaks, and that extends into the other bris, bris hamor, which in that generation sinned in that area. There were poigim brisim, and that's why there was a mabul. The mabul came because of pegam habris. The Gemara says beroischen kilkalu, beroischen nidoinu. Except for Noach. Noach was a tzaddik. Noach was not involved. Noach was totally removed from these chatoyim. And if a Noach is zoicha, that in his parasha, we learn out from a pasuk in parasha's Noach that a person has to be very careful how he speaks, because talking, if we're not careful with bris haloshen, it leads to bris hamor, and that's what we see with chum. Vayar chum ervas oviv, vayaged. Chum saw, he looked where he shouldn't, and he ended up talking about which he should not have. Vayar chum avikanan, vayaged l'shnei echov bachutz, and as a result of that, chum is cursed to be that his descendants should have to be slaves. However, shame v'yefes, v'yikach shame v'yefes, as similar to the Pasuk says, shame and yefes take a garment, and they covered Noach with the garment. comes along Rashi and he tells us, what was shame, zoiche, what did shame merit because he covered his vav and he did not look at Ervas Aviv and he turned away? Talis shel mitzvah. That means we have a talis, we wear tzitzis because shame covered Noach. And what does that have to do with it? Because what is the purpose of the tzitzis? For leisosuru achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem, we read in Parshas Tzitzis. The tzitzis remind us, l'man tizkru es kol mitzvayse v'yisam kedoshim le'lekech, not to follow our eyes. V'leisosuru achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem, which is nus and minus, immorality and heresy. Those are the two chatoyim that tzitzis protects us from. Shame, because shame covers Noach. Shame does not look, and he was nizer in Shmiras HaYinayim. Therefore, shame was zeicha to have that from him. From shame comes Avraham Avinu, comes the Jewish people who are zeicha to a talis shel mitzvah, which the purpose of wearing the tzitzis, that we put the tzitzis in our eyes, is that tzitzis protects us from znus, and it protects us from minus. And those are the two generations that we read about in this week's parasha, the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFlog. The Dor HaMabul was the generation of immorality. The Dor HaFlog was the generation of heresy. And they spoke, they said things they shouldn't say. The pasuk says, "Vayhi kol ha'aretz sofa echos hu devarim achadim," sharp words. They spoke very sharp. They were anti-God, very similar to what we hear today in the secular atheist society. Let's fight God. Let's keep God out of the schools. Let's keep God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Devarim achadim. That was the Dor HaFlog. Our generation is a combination of both. The tzaddikim in previous generations, Rav Nachman Breslover and Rav Yisrael Rishon, whose yahrzeit is this Shabbos, Gimel Cheshvan, and others, have said, and you see how prophetic their words were, that right before Mashiach comes, we're going to once again experience the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaHaflaga. It's clear to anyone that sees what's going on that we are living in the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaHaflaga, maybe even worse than the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaHaflaga. Today, whatever immorality existed then is out in the open today. The heresy, the apikursis, the meanness is out in the open today, and they're not even ashamed to say it. The world was once a world where they only spoke Lashon HaKodesh. That was before the Haflaga. Then came the Bilbul, Bavel, where Hashem confuses and causes them to start speaking all the different languages, the Ayin Lashonos, the 70 languages. The world is now in a state of confusion. The world before the Haflaga is speaking one language. The world after the Haflaga is speaking many. In Tishrei, in the month of Tishrei, which now we're leaving Tishrei, we only spoke Lashon HaKodesh. Tishrei is a month where there's clarity of the mind. We see everything clear. It's Tishrei is Oisius Yishras. There's Yashrus. Everything is perfect. It's the perfect month. But Mar Cheshvan, on the contrary, Yerach Bul, this is the month of Bilbul. A month of Bavel, of Baal al Hashem, Sfas Kol Ha'oros. There's confusion, massive confusion. And we have to deal with the outside world. We have to deal with the 70 languages. That's why it's the month of Menashe. Every month corresponds to another Shevet. Tishrei is Ephraim. Mar Cheshvan is Menashe. Ephraim sat and learnt all day. Ephraim was the Chavrusa of Yaakov Avinu. You couldn't get a better Chavrusa. Ephraim is learning with Torah itself. Yaakov represents Torah. So Ephraim doesn't deal with the outside world at all. Ephraim speaks only Lashon HaKodesh. And that's Tishrei. Tishrei is Ephraim. Mar Cheshvan is Menashe. Menashe, also a tzaddik, but Menashe is not learning all day. Menashe is the statesman. Menashe is the melitz. He's the interpreter. He's the one who has to interpret Hebrew to Egyptian, Egyptian to Hebrew. When the Shvatim came down to Yosef at tzaddik, it says Menashe was the one interpreting. They thought that Yosef doesn't know Hebrew. So they have to go through Menashe, who's the Melech. So Menashe had to deal with foreign languages. If he's the interpreter, that means he spoke other languages. Menashe was a statesman in the palace of Paris, so Menashe is dealing with the outside world. In Mar Cheshvan, we deal with the outside world. We go into the world, into the Mabul, into the Yerach Bul, into the Bilbul, into the world of Ayin Lashonos, which begins in this week's Parsha. In Parshas Noach, there's the transition, there's the period before the Mabul, the period after. There's going into the Teva, there's going out of the Teva. There's the world that speaks only Lashon HaKodesh, and there's the world that now speaks 70 languages. That's Tishrei and Mar Cheshvan, the fusion of these 2 months. In Tishrei, Tishrei is like before the Mabul. Tishrei, we're in the Teva, we're protected, we're surrounded by Kedusha, we're in the Sukkah, and we're protected with the Tzeil of the Sukkah. In Mar Cheshvan, we're out of the teva, and we have to go out of the teva. Yes, we can't still be shaking the lulav in the esrog. There's no mitzvah now to shake the lulav in the esrog. You can't sit in the sukkah anymore. There's no mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. It's usur, in fact, to sit in the sukkah now. It's bal toisef. You have to go out of the sukkah, and you can't hear shofar now, as much as one would still want to hear it. But there's no mitzvah to blow the shofar, and all the mitzvahs and all the simcha. Yeah, a Jew is supposed to be happy all the time. Yidu es Hashem b'simcha, but there's no simchas beis hashoeva tonight. And there's no dancing with music unless you buy a chasen. And there's no, the Simchas HaChag is no longer with us because we're entering the month of Mar Cheshva now. So does that mean that we're supposed to be depressed? Chas v'shalom, of course not. On the contrary, we have to take all that Simcha and all that Kedusha and all the mitzvahs that we were zoicha to perform in the month of Tishrei, in the month in which we spoke only Lashon HaKodesh, and extend it into the month of Mar Cheshva, the month in which we have to deal with the Ayin L'Shoinis, which we have to deal with the 70 languages of the world. We have to take the warmth of Tishrei into the frigid month of Mar Cheshva, which is the Akrev, the scorpion. This is the mazel of Akrev, which is Scorpio, which is a month in which we now suddenly feel very cold and distant. In Tishrei we felt very close and warm. Now we feel cold and distant, but what we're supposed to do is remember the warmth of Tishrei and bring it with us into Mar Cheshvan, and not, Chas v'Shalom, be influenced by the Neha Mabel that surrounds us. And there is a Mabel, a spiritual Mabel that surrounds us. So Noach is a very encouraging parasha. In Noach, we see that the same Sivui Hashem to enter the Teva, Hashem tells us sometimes to go out of the Teva. One should not feel, well, are we doing anything wrong now? No, in Mar Cheshvan, the mitzvah of the day is to go out of the sukkah, not to remain in the sukkah. The mitzvah of the day is to go out of the teva, and to go out into the world, and to elevate the world. And yes, those who are working and in business are supposed to be now going to work and involved in their business and making a good living, but at the same time remembering that it's all from Hashem, and thinking the same thoughts that you thought when you were in the sukkah, or when you were in shul on Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah, or when you were listening to the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You think the same thing when you're in your place of business on a normal average day in the month of Mar Cheshvan, and that's how you know that your Tishrei was a successful one. I believe you might have mentioned this in the previous year, but we'll just say it again quickly. The Tzvila Tzadik, the Blujava, the holy Blujava Rebbe, was nifter about 100 years ago, writes that Mar Cheshvan is the letters Roshem Nun Ches. Roshem means the impression of Nun Ches. Nun Ches is equal to 58. That in the month of Mar Cheshvan, we see whether the 58 days of Elul and Tishrei were successful. In Elul, there are 29 days. And in Mar Cheshvan, even though there are 30 days, but really it's 29, because the 30th is already considered Mar Cheshvan. So you have Tishrei, you have 29 days. Elul, you have 29 days, which is 58. And then comes Mar Cheshvan, Roshem Nun Ches. The letters Roshem Nun Ches. In this month, we find out whether those Nun Ches, whether those 58 days of Tishrei and Elul were productive. Did they produce anything? And that's why right after Rosh Hashanah and Kippur Sukkot, right after Tishrei, we read Parshas Noach, Nun Ches. Nun Ches is equal to 58. Now we know whether the 58 days of Elul and Tishrei were worth anything. Eile Toldos Noach. The coming month, Mar Cheshvan, is the produce of the Nun Ches, of the 58 days that preceded Mar Cheshvan, which were the 58 days of Elul and Tishrei. Noach ish tzadik tamim. If those 58 days were really utilized properly, and we worked on ourselves during those 58 days, we're able to enter Mar Cheshvan without any fear. We don't have to worry about the surrounding mabul. We don't have to worry about the fact that this is an empty month, the fact that this is a bitter month in comparison to Tishrei, where we dipped the apple in the honey, and the challah in the honey, and now it's Mar Cheshvan. On the contrary, we take the dvash, we take the sweetness of Tishrei, and we extend it into Mar Cheshvan. In fact, the Arizal said that the Shem Havaya, the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Mar Cheshvan, is derived from the four letters of the in the acronym of the words Udevash Hayom Hazeh Hashem. It's a pasuk in Parashas Kisavai. Udevash, that's the end of one pasuk, that's a Vav. Hayom Hazeh Hashem is Vav Hey Hey Yud. That's the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Mar Cheshvan. It starts with the word Udevash. What does Mar Cheshvan have to do with the Vash? This is not a month of honey. Honey was in Tishrei. No, the Arizal is telling us, teaching us, the fact that this is the combination of Hashem's name, which you're supposed to have in mind, by the way, when you say Baruch Atah Hashem, Mechadish Chadashim and Musaf, if there's still one more day for Musaf tomorrow, the combination of Hashem's name for that month, which many Siddurim have it on the bottom there, you can see it, it's from the words Udevash Hayom Hazeh Hashem, Hayom Hazeh, which is Ischachus, that in the month of Ma'achesh, when we can rejuvenate, we can renew ourselves, despite that Tishrei has ended, and we can extend the Devash, the sweetness of Tishrei, into the month of Ma'achesh. The Yalkut Shimoni writes that the Chanukas Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, that means the dedication of the third Beis Hamikdash, is going to take place in the month of Ma'acheshvan. That's the month in which Shlomo HaMelech finished building the first Beis Hamikdash, but he didn't dedicate it until the following Tishrei. So Ma'acheshvan was sort of insulted. Why did you leave me out? Why didn't you make any dedication ceremony in the month that you finished building, which is in my month? And Shlomo didn't feel that that was the proper month for dedication. It's such an empty month, so he waited until the following Tishrei. So the Medrash says that Hashem says to Ma'achesh, when you are destined for greatness in the future, Ma'acheshvan, which is the month that we're in now, will be the month in which the Ikar, the Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, will be dedicated. That's why the Bnei Yisoscha says Akrev, which means Scorpion. This is the month of the Scorpio. Akrev is Ikar Bayis. It's like Ikar Ayin Kufresh Beis. Ikar Bayis, the main house, which is the third Beis Hamikdash, will be dedicated in the month of Ma'acheshvan, this month, because this is the month in which we prove our true loyalty and dedication to Hashem, because this is a month without a Yom Tov, a month that we have to deal with the outside world, and if we stay steadfast and loyal to Hashem in a time like Ma'acheshvan, that's where it really counts, and in that schus we should be zeichet taka, that this month we should experience the Binyan Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi and the true election, not of a president of the United States or some prime minister in Israel, but the true election of Melech HaMashiach, B'Shem En Kotchi Meshachtiv, as the Pasuk says, Hashem himself anoints him, and he becomes the ruler of the world and brings the world to the real change that the world is going to experience, the true change that the world is going to experience. With Yisruach HaTuma Avim in Ha'oretz, Hashem is going to remove all abomination from the world, all tuma from the world, and will be zeichet to the Hashras Hashchina and to the Hizgalus of Melech HaMashiach immediately in our time.